Yeah, babe, this is a little old Hollywood. Cameras, stars, radio, publicity. Name, dame, fame. Baloney, Tony, phony. Autographs, epitaphs, photographs. Hollywood. Hollywood.
Yeah, little old Hollywood. Little old Hollywood. The National Broadcasting Company presents the 18th edition of this entertainment feature direct from Hollywood's Radio City. Sunset and Vine, the crossroads of the show world. The young man of Hollywood who keeps the show rolling along, Ben Alexander. And looking over the list of entertainers for the evening, we find heading the bill, Leo Carrillo. Also, the very refreshing French-Canadian singer, Gogo Delice. Robert Elred's comedy serial, Two Happy People. And the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins. With a flower in his buttonhole, with more than a bit of knowledge of what's going on in Hollywood, he comes out on the stage this evening to take over the show. Spotlight, please. And here is Hollywood's oldest young actor, Ben Alexander.
Greetings from little old Hollywood. Greetings from the town that's always chasing rainbows. You know, there's an age-old myth that claims that it never rains in California. Well, that's right. It doesn't rain in California. It pours. But here's the spot we find ourselves in at this particular and somewhat embarrassing moment. Leo Carrillo isn't here. Why isn't Mr. Carrillo here? Well, he's rained in. Or rained out. At least he's marooned on his big ranch down at Vista, California, some 80 miles from little old Hollywood. Leo Carrillo stuck in the mud. Poor Leo. Me stuck without a guest of honor. Poor Ben. Say, anybody down there got a book I could read or anything like that? Got a catalog I could read for a while? I'll read to you. Well, say, Gordon Jenkins.
Yes, Ben?
What do you suppose? Let's do a thumbnail interview just as long as Leo Carrillo was here, just as if he was here, you know?
Oh, fine. You mean I get to play on Leo Carrillo? Caramba!
No. I'll ask the questions I plan to ask Leo, and then you think up something appropriate to play. That'd be a musical answer, see?
That's all I have to do, huh?
Mm-hmm, that's all. Let's start.
I haven't been in such an embarrassing predicament since I entered the ukulele contest back in Webster Groves, Missouri, and my A string broke. let's leave the orchestra out. I'll play him on the piano.
All right, then let's get going. If Mr. Carrillo were here, I'd probably say, Leo, what's your principal hobby? Oh, I see. Horses, huh? Good horses? I get it. But you have a very fine stallion that you always ride to lead pageants and parades, Mr. Carrillo. What kind of a horse is it?
What?
Gordon, wait a minute. That was pal of mine he just played.
All right, so you think up something for a Palomino horse.
Okay, then. Say, Leo, how far is it to your 5,000-acre ranch down at Vista? Smile. So, you know, Leo Carrillo has been making a picture out at MGM. 12 film, I understand. 20 mule team. I say, Gordon, 20 mule team. That'll stick you.
20.
What's that?
Then mule remember me. It's my team song. 20 mule team. You want to borrow it?
Ooh, that'll be all, Gordon. You can get back in your box now. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the sort of an ordeal that a radio master of ceremonies must endure when rainstorms wash away your guest star. Thanks for your patience. This evening, Gordon Jenkins and his orchestra take the melodic strain to the pseudo-American Indian tone poem by the Waters of the Minnetonka and weave it into a colorful pattern of modern rhythm. We hope that it will be enjoyed by not only ye jitterbugs, but by you who are tolerantly conservative in your musical taste. It's the distinguished music of Gordon Jenkins. Give you anything but love, baby, is the theme music that each week introduces Robert L. Redd's comedy serial, Two Happy People. It stars Fred MacKay as that lovable, laughable confusionist Harvey Doubleday, and Margaret Brayton as Brooke Stewart, the girl Harvey is engaged to. They are supported by Verna Felt. At this particular moment, Harvey is in hot water, way up to here. Recently, he met a glamorous young lady who is in pictures, Maisie Bunnell. Against his better judgment, he finds himself falling for her. A half hour ago, she called him on the telephone. Here now, we find Harvey in his hotel room dressing, getting ready to go over to Maisie's apartment. Yes, here is Harvey alone, standing in front of his dresser mirror, talking to himself.
Mirror, mirror, here on my dresser, tell me if you think I'm a snappy dresser, come set it at that. Maisie.
Hello, Harvey. You know, I'm a cute gal, that Maisie Bunnell.
Yeah, well, Brooke's a swell gal, too. Brooke's got brains and a sense of humor and a good figure. Well, Maisie's got a good figure, too. So they both got good figures. Brooke's figure sort of says, wham, and Maisie says, well, it says, wham.
Oh, Harvey.
Oh, gee, talking to yourself in the mirror, you dope. Oh, my transom is closed. Yeah, it is. I wonder why Maisie wants to see me tonight in particular. And maybe she sold my new idea to her brother-in-law that manufactures cosmetics. Hey, what an idea. Phosphorescent lipstick. So a fella can see where to kiss his girl in the dark. Oh, Harry. Hey, you got a date with the movie queen tonight, huh? Oh, pal, come on. Put your coat on. You got to get going. Yeah, but first you got to step across the hall and explain to Brooke. You understand. I hope her old lady's out. Well, take a last look at yourself, Harvey. You look pretty good at that. Matter of fact, you look hotter than a $3 pistol. Oh, shut up, Harvey. Let's go. Well, here you go, kid. Oh, what are you stalling for? Push the bell button, Harvey. Look, I understand you've got to go out somewhere else tonight. Maybe. Oh.
Hello. I was here to be you, darling.
Me, all right, Brooke. I just stopped by a second to tell you that...
Oh, come on in. Mother's been putting her hat on. I'm ready now.
Ready?
Of course, Harvey. Come in. Mother'll be ready to go in just a second.
She will, huh?
You hadn't forgotten about tonight, had you?
Looks kind of like it. What's happening tonight?
You know, Monday night. The ticket you bought last week to take us to see G with the W?
G with the W?
You know.
Oh, yeah. Gone with the Wind. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten I was taking you and your mother to see that. Yeah, I got the tickets right in my wallet here.
Oh, Harvey, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. I was putting on my new hat. How would you like it?
Very nice. Yeah.
Well, you see, fur hats are all the rage this spring. Look at the fluffy little tail hanging down in back.
Yeah?
On the hat, Harvey.
Yeah, I see it. Looks cute. Looks like a beaver had built a nest on top of your head, huh?
You're so quaint, Harvey. Well, I just love the hat. It's called the Daniel Boone model.
Well, there's one thing you could do if you'd ever lose that hat, Miss Stewart.
What's that, Harvey?
Set a trap in your closet for it.
Oh, Harvey.
I like it. I never saw you look so charming.
Well.
Yeah. Never saw you look so charming. Just before.
Just before? Just before what?
Just before, I don't think she's going to look so charming.
You look upset, Harvey. Is anything wrong? Harvey, you hadn't forgotten you were taking us to see G with the W tonight.
That's what you think.
What do you mean, Harvey?
I mean, I got to meet a friend in just about 10 minutes from now.
Friend? What are the friend's initials?
Missy Bonnell. Oh, I mean, Miss...
Harvey, if you turn me down tonight to go out with Maisie Bonnell, this will be the last.
The last?
The finish. We will be through. I will not play second fiddle.
Well, I'm not just going to stand here with my piccolo. Can't you realize that I'm trying to do something that'll bring you and me financial independence, Book? Maisie's brother-in-law right now is working on my new idea, right now.
Harvey is very convincing and very sincere, Mother. I do believe in him.
There, you see, Miss Stewart?
Yeah, I see plenty.
Mother, we will let Harvey keep his engagement with Maisie Bonnell tonight.
You're a bigger dope than I thought, Brooke.
I know what I'm doing. Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
You have 3 tickets for the picture, haven't you, darling?
Yes, Book. And you can have all 3. They're right in the middle of the balcony, too. Left side.
I wouldn't take them, Brooke. Oh, thank you, Harvey. You're so generous. Mother, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Mr. Latimer if he'll go with us tonight.
Hey!
Oh, that's an idea, Brooke.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You aren't going to give that extra ticket to that big group.
Well, I'm sure he'd enjoy seeing you with the W. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Come on, Brooke. I hope you have a wonderful time with Maisie tonight, Harvey.
Doggone me, if I had a little more horse sense, I'd quit horsing around.
Harvey's the strangest man I've ever met.
Doesn't sound like your type, Maisie.
Oh, I just like him, Annette. He's different from most Hollywood men.
What does he look like?
Well, he's really very handsome in a bashful sort of way.
All I know, Maisie, is that with all the chances for dates you have, you've got some idea up your sleeve.
Well, my brother-in-law, the one that operates the cosmetic manufacturing company, thinks Harvey's idea is great. Just look at these lipstick samples his laboratory made up. We'll test them tonight.
Well, I wish this new Casanova from the Six would get here.
Oh, that's Harvey now. I'm really terribly excited.
Well, throw down the bars and let him in.
Oh, please be nice to him, kid.
Hello, Maisie. Got here.
Come in, Harvey. Some girls at the studio where I'm working just dropped in. I want you to meet them.
Hello, girls.
Ah, doesn't he? This is Mr. Ned Houston. You've seen her in a lot of pictures lately.
Oh, I'm glad to meet you, Inez.
How do you do, Mr. Doubleday?
Oh. How do you do, Miss Houston? You're pretty. Yeah.
Harvey.
A lot of you, aren't there? I mean, I haven't met her yet.
Well, don't rush me, darling.
Darling? Oh, gosh, I won't rush you. Honey.
And this is Miss Lynn Manners, Harvey.
How do you do, Miss Manners?
Hello, Harvey.
Oh, hello, Lynn. Guys, you're all huckleberries. You really are.
Sit down, Harvey. Make yourself at home.
Thanks. See, it's sure a nice apartment you got here, Maisie.
I have some wonderful news for you, Harvey. Putty thinks your lipstick idea is wonderful.
Putty? Who's Putty?
You know, the man you met, my brother-in-law, Harrington Burgess.
Oh, Harrington Burgess. You call him just Putty? Gosh.
That's our pet name for him.
He's famous all over the country as Harrington of Hollywood.
I guess he couldn't get very famous as Putty of Hollywood, could he?
I think you have a simply delightful sense of humor, Harvey.
You do?
I really do.
Oh, gosh, you got dimples, haven't you?
You aren't married, are you, Mr. Doubleday?
Not yet. Are you?
Not yet.
Well, it can happen to anybody.
Harvey, look what Putty brought over for me to show you. 3 different samples of lipstick.
Well, you mean Mr. Burgess made up samples of my lipstick already? Gosh, he must have liked my idea, huh?
It's the most novel lipstick idea I've ever heard of.
Harvey, Putty wants us to test your lipstick tonight.
Test it? How?
Well, there are 3 of us, Inez and Lynn and me. And there are 3 different kinds of lipstick. Putty wants to know which one's best.
Yeah, but what do we do?
Well, each one of us girls will put on a different lipstick. Then we'll turn off the light.
See, maybe I should have gone G with a W after all. then what do we do?
Then, Harvey, you'll have to find each one of us and kiss us.
Well, if I ever catch one of you, the other 2 have got to look for me. Oh, come on, Larry, let's start.
Here, girls, each take a lipstick and put it on your lips.
All right, thanks.
Gosh, I guess I've been missing a lot of things in life, huh?
And Ned will be wearing the phosphorescent lipstick Putty has named Infrared. And Lynn will have on the ultraviola. And I'll be wearing the, come and dress.
Okay. I mean, you kids ready?
Yes, Harvey.
Me too.
Isn't it wonderful? 20 years ago, girls would never have thought of doing what we're going to do now.
I guess that's why they didn't do it. Well.
Well, for this first test, how shall we work it? Shall I leave the dim lights on, Harvey?
Heck no. Turn the dim things out. Let me get to work.
We're sorry he isn't here, because this evening Go-Go Deleuze, in honor of Leo Carrillo, will sing the popular Gaucho Serenade. If you will, please, mademoiselle, señorita, Go-Go Deleuze.
This is a song that the Gaucho sing. La, 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 la. The sweet serenade that the Gaucho sing. La, 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 la. Comes a gent with a mellow instrument, a colorful sombrero. Then he sings the melody he brings, so tenderly plays, is called the Gaucho Serenade. La 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 la. Si, signor, he's a happy troubadour. On a patio you'll find him. Si, signor, he will go from door to door, leaving happiness behind him. All the sweet singeritas hurry out to join the parade. and hear the gaucho serenade. La 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 la, la 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 la. A love song for a lovely name. The gaucho.
Series of original impressions of Hollywood composed by Gordon Jenkins. Tonight, the biography and music of the dark, dashing, and handsome Leo Carrillo. Leo Carrillo is without question California's favorite native son. He was born in the City of the Angels and spent much of his boyhood years with the Jesuit fathers. Leo Carrillo's ancestors include some of the first white settlers during the glamorous and gallant days of early Spanish California. His family were wealthy landowners, generals, governors. His father was Judge Juan J. Carrillo. Leo's background, a colorful, romantic, adventurous one, steeped in the legends of Spanish nobility. Leo's studies suffered at the expense of his insatiable interest in athletics. And in those early years, the stage fascinated him, too. Unable to get a job as an actor, he went to San Francisco, landed a newspaper job, and thus got access to theater backstages. He attracted immediate attention through his peculiar knack of being able to tell Chinese stories in Italian dialect. A comic storyteller, Leo Carrillo entered vaudeville and in a few years became a romantic and popular figure throughout the country. In 1920, he turned to the legitimate theater. His first full-length play ran 4 years, Lombardi Limited. Leo played Lombardi, the eccentric designer of gowns with whom all the ladies were in love. Then came Mr. Antonio, and then musical comedies, and then, in 1933, motion pictures. Leo Carrillo has made dozens upon dozens of pictures. One role that will never be forgotten, General Sierra in Viva Villa. Carrillo and his family live quietly and happily in their rambling Spanish hacienda tucked back in an oak-shaded little valley in Santa Monica Canyon. It's a sunny, gay life he leads when free from pictures. A swim in the deep blue pool, or accompanied by his ranchmen, Leo riding off over the rolling hills on his prized palominos. To Leo, life is beautiful. This is our picture of the beloved, the gallant, the gay, modern caballero. This is our lyrical vision of a man who's every right to ride at the head of the parade of Hollywood and California history. This is Leo Carrillo. We very proudly ring down the curtain on another little old Hollywood performance, direct from Sunset and Vine, the crossroads of the show world. Next Monday, another edition of our show. So then, until then, this is Ben, Alexander saying, keep your sunny side up. I'm telling you, you really should, no kidding. Good night. The program is heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.